Be'ezus Hashem, we are now beginning our Parsha class, Parsha's Bishalach, and tonight is the ninth day in the month of Shvat, Tav Shin Pei, corresponding with the English calendar. It is February 3rd, 2020. Parsha's Bishalach has another very popular name that goes with it, that with Parsha B'Shalach is also the popular name of Shabbos Shira. It's the Shabbos where Oz Yashir is read, and you'll notice in Shul the congregants stand up and show respect, particularly to this part of the Parsha where the Jewish people in unison praised Hashem for the tremendous miracle of splitting of the sea. Shabbos Shira is also known to be the Shabbos that we put bird food or crumbs, as you may find more convenient, for birds to enjoy, particularly on the Shabbos, because this is the Shabbos where Dotan v'Aviram, our two famous troublemakers, tried to embarrass Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people the halachos, the laws of Mon, and how Shabbos was affected by it. In other words, very briefly, Shabbos was going to be the only time when the Mon would not fall. Every day of the week, the Mon was going to fall for the Jewish people to collect and to eat. And they were not supposed to take more than just one portion. And on Shabbos, they would not have Mon, but their double portion came on Friday. This is the reason why we have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, to signify the minhag, the story of the Mon falling double on Erev Shabbos. And Dasan Vaviram wanted to defame Moshe Rabbeinu by showing that Moshe Rabbeinu was not honest about his report that the Mon would not fall on Shabbos. And in order to be able to put some shame to Moshe, they actually took their own mon that they collected on Friday, and they spread it out in the field, and then they woke people up in the morning and to announce that mon has fallen. When they came to the site that they put the mon, they couldn't find the mon. And the reason why they couldn't find the mon is because the birds quickly ate it or picked it up with their beaks and brought it somewhere else, and there was no mon to be found. And of course the Jewish people were very annoyed by them having been woken up, or even if they were woken up, they were annoyed that they accused Moshe unjustly. But the bottom line is that the birds were given a certain schar, a certain reward. And that is on every Shabbos Shira, that Shabbos that discusses the Mon, we have a custom of putting out crumbs for the birds to eat. And Parsha B'Shalach is really smack in the middle of the winter. And as a result of that, food is scarce for birds. And then when they find some bread, crumbs of bread that was scattered out in the open, is
what did the birds do again?
Well, the birds ate the mon that
they left.
Dasan Vaviram put out in order to defame Moshe.
Right. Okay.
But since Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't put to shame ultimately because of the birds, so the birds were therefore honored by the bird that we have a custom on this Shabbos to put out crumbs before Shabbos, not on Shabbos, but before Shabbos. Put some crumbs out in front of your house or in the backyard or wherever you'll be able, or on top of a fence where they'll be able to get it quickly. And this would be a custom that has been kept up for generations after generations. This is the parsha on Parsha Shira.
Mentioned about the birds in the Chumash.
It's not in the written, but as Rashi mentions it, Rashi mentions it, and therefore the custom is to put out bird food or crumbs, so that the birds will have that additional pleasure of finding food, especially during the winter where food is scarce.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
So the first year, there was no Yom Tov. The only Yom Tov they celebrated was Pesach for the first year.
That is correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Was the month twice or Pesach? What happened with the month?
Well, that the story of the month.
No, but on Yom Tov, would they get a double portion like a Shabbos?
That was always the case.
Yeah. So they would get a double portion for Yom Tov.
I mean, later on.
It would be like,
yes.
Okay.
No, but they weren't.
Months. Yes.
No, the first month happened. No,
no, but they celebrate one Pesach the first year. After that, they didn't celebrate till they got to the land of Israel. But the first year was a commandment. Yeah.
But then
it was in Parshas Bo.
The man wasn't there yet.
Eh?
The man wasn't there yet.
The man was
started right away.
No, the man was after they left Mitzrayim. It was a month later.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the first Pesach they celebrated a year later.
Saying a year later, so therefore
that's what I'm asking. There's only one Pesach that was celebrated.
Erev Yontif.
Eretz Yisrael.
So, but Erev Yontif, right? They had
double portion. That's my question.
They had other Yom Tovim. They also observed.
So, what are the Yom Tov?
I would imagine Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot.
No, but there was no Shavuos in Sukkot yet. Like they, that's after Matan Torah. So
after Matan Torah, then came the story for 30 days later with the man, and then they were in the desert for 40 years. So there were other opportunities.
Yeah, but in the other holidays, it says right away not to celebrate
When Moshe Rabbeinu talked about the man, he said that there won't be any man on Erev Shabbos, and it also Chazal said the same thing with on Yom Tov. Okay, but that's throwing us a little bit off over here. But that's fine. It's well taken, and we have to know that was the custom of even Erev Yom Tov. There was only double portion on Erev Yom Tov. That's why we have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos in Yom Tov. Double portion of bread. Double, right. All right. There's another thing, even before I get to the parsha, which I want to talk about, is another thing is that tomorrow is Tuesday, and there is the Minhag Yisrael of reading the Parshas Haman, the parsha of the month. Why? Because the man was the sustenance of the Jewish people. The man was the parnasa of the Jewish people. And Tuesday, specifically Tuesday, is a day when the world, when Hashem created the world, on Tuesday it was twice Kito, and at the time when the foliage, the vegetation grew from the ground on Tuesday. In other words, Parnassa to the world came on Tuesday. So, being that the man, since the man in this week's parasha fell in the desert for the Jewish people, there is a custom of saying Shnayim Mikra ve'Echad Targum, twice the text of the Chumash and once the Targum. But if you say once the text of the Chumash, that's also good. It's a segula for Parnassa. And if you want to know, in the Sidur, it's right after davening of Shacharis, and you can find it after the Yom. And if I can get the right spot, it's after the Ayin Mamim. Here we go. And here's Parshas Haman. The Parshas Haman, and this in the art school city, it's 181C. Here, the parsha, it begins with the Yehi Ratzon, and then the parsha of the month, that goes a little bit further till the end of the parasha, which is the bottom of page 1.
We say it to ourselves.
81E. You say this to yourself. Okay, I'm just
saying it in English. Do the trick.
You want to know something? I don't know if it will do the trick. The whole thing is a segula. It's a merit.
It can hurt.
It can hurt if you say it in Hebrew.
It's a little higher than you had before.
If it's, you say the Parshas Haman in Hebrew, and you want to then repeat it in English, it's also good. I don't see anything wrong with it, but the minhag is to say the Parshas Haman at least once. At least once. And if you say it tomorrow, my wife says it too. You can spread the good word among your friends. It's a segula for Parnassa. And I don't think that anybody should look down at something like this. It's a wonderful merit. And if it takes a few minutes, so you should do it. And if, let's say, you don't do it tomorrow because you were too busy or you forgot, then you can do it on Wednesday too and Thursday, because it's still within the week of Parshas B'Shalach. It's still within the time that the month was announced. And therefore, not to forget to say the parasha and spread it out to your friends and for those who you feel are on the madrega, on the level of appreciating such a tefillah. Okay, we're going to try to get through this week's parasha. We're going to start on page 370 in the art scroll. And we are going to actually start our lesson tonight right at the beginning of Kriyas Yamsuf, the beginning where the Kriyas Yamsuf takes place. We are all familiar that the Jewish people left Mitzrayim and they were freed by Paro. And the Jewish people were being led by the Ananiah Kavod, the clouds of glory. And the clouds of glory actually led them right to the spot of the Red Sea. We call it Yam Suf. And Paro had a change of heart. And the Torah tells us that Hashem made his heart hard, which was really something unbelievable, because logically speaking, he had enough makis to convince him that this wasn't a good idea. But nevertheless, he pursued the Jewish people, also wanted to reclaim all of the wealth that was taken from there. And we're now going to begin a little bit in the text of the Chumash. At this point, you can imagine the Jewish people are terrified, looking at the army of Paro with these trained soldiers on these metal chariots chasing in their direction. You can just visualize as they see the dust of the horses galloping and creating this dust cloud in their direction, and now they have nowhere to turn. So let's now read Pasuk Yud Gimel inside. Vayomer Moshe el ha'om, Al tiro, do not fear. Hisyatsu, Uru, stand here and see. Es Yeshuas Hashem, the salvation of Hashem, Asher Yasu lechem hayom, which Hashem will do for you today. Ki asher isem es Mitzrayim hayom, that which you see the Egyptian today, lo so sifu lirosem od ad olam, you will never see them ever again. Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tacharishun, Hashem will wage war for you and you are to be silent. The Torah continues on, and Hashem is instructing Moshe Rabbeinu to take his staff and to raise it above the sea and to split it. And we're going to go in two more psukim, three more psukim ahead. And it says in the pasuk, Va'am tazayin, V'ata horem es matcha onetei es yoscha al hayom, you should raise your staff on above the the sea, Ubekaeu, and split it. And the Jewish people went into the sea in the dryness of the Yamsuf. We're going to now skip to Pasuk Chav Beis, and that is page 372. And the Torah tells us they went into the sea, and Pharaoh's army followed them in, and there was a buffer zone between the two, between Bnei Yisrael and the Egyptian army. Just as a tangential remark, they couldn't see the Jewish people. It was very dark. It was dark because the seventh day of Choshech finally was put into place. And let me explain that. Every Makkah was for 7 days. Every Makkah, of course, except for Makkah's Bechoros, because that happened instantly at the crack of midnight. That was an instant. But every Makkah was for 7 days. But if you look at the history of the Makkah's Choshech, it was divided into three days. The first 3 days was very dark, but not as dark as the second 3 days. There was like, they were immobilized on the second 3 days. They were stuck in darkness, like they were stuck in a jelly mold, and they couldn't move and do anything. But what happened to the seventh day? We know the Makkah, the extra day that was now, it was taking place right now as I'm talking to you, where the armies were separated from the Jewish people and they couldn't see a thing. Why? Because it was Choshech. It was darkness. That was an extra day. That's all in Medrash. We're not going to go into it, but just letting you know just for the fact of what happened. And now, and finally, they were completely inside the Yam Suf, and then Moshe raised his staff, and then all of a sudden, at this point, the Torah tells us, let's go in Pasuk Chav Gimel.
Let's
go to Chav Beis first, and then we'll go to let's go to Chav Beis. Pasuk Chav Beis. Vayivol bnei Yisrael b'sar chayon b'yabasha. Right, and the Jewish people went into the sea while it was dry. Vayamayim lehem chayma mimina m'smola. And the water swore like a wall from the right and to the left. If you notice, the word choma is spelt with a vav. Ches vav mem hey. And the walls of water were a choma, was a wall from the right and from the left. As the Bnei Israel went into the sea, and it turned into dry land. Let's now go to Pasuk Chav Tes in page 374.
Well, no, I couldn't do that. I got
from
here. This was like 10 minutes ago.
So
you would have left.
In Pasuk Chav Tes,
no, I may have left a note.
The Torah repeats the Jewish people going into the sea, but in a reverse order. And the Jewish people went first into the dry land, which was in the sea. And the water was for them a wall from the right and from the left. So we notice there are two changes over here. Change number one is that in this Pasuk Chav Tes, it says first the Jewish people went into the dry land and then into the sea. And the word choma is spelled without a vav. This question is raised by the Vilna Goyen. The Vilna Goyen raises the question, how come the psukim are different? How come first you said in the psukim before, in Pasuk Chav Beis, page 372, he said the Jewish people went first into the sea and then it turned into dry land, and the walls were there, a wall from right to left. The word Chomer is with a vav. And in this Pasuk here, in Pasuk Chav Ches, it says, Chavtes, it says, and the Jewish people went into the dry land first and then into the sea, and the water was a chayma without a vav. Explains the Vilna Gaon over here, and it's actually a medrash which I'm going to read from the Sefer Chidek, or my Rebbe Sefer. The word of vav is a choma. Now, if you read the word choma without a vav, you can read the word as chema, as angry. Chema means wrath.
What about chum? Hot?
No. This is a different. The word chema. Chum is a different word. Chema means wrath. So what had happened over here? Okay. So I'm wrath.
Anger, wrath.
So let's understand what happened here. The first pasuk says the Jewish people went into the sea and it turned into dry land, and the wall was a chema with a vav. And the second time it says that the Jewish people went first into the dry land and then it turned into the sea, and then it was a chema without a vav. And it's spelled chema. So what happened over here? So now let's explain this, and you're going to see a very interesting chazal. My Rebbe in Sefer Chidekel brings down the Das Hakein Balataisis. Das Hakein Balataisis, I'm going to quote it because it's very interesting and I don't want to miss a word. Okay? As you can listen outside. But Dazakenim, in the Dazakenim, that's a commentary in the Chumash, Shehevi Divrei HaMedrash, brings a Medrash that the word Chema is missing a Vav. Chosa. But why is it missing a Vav? Because Lefi Shebetchila Nesmala Hayom Chema. The sea was very angry. Aleihem, on the Jewish people, at Shabbat Gavriel, until Gavriel came, right? V'samam kachayma, and he placed the world as a wall, as a right one. B'tay chayam, in the middle of the sea. V'hayam machris, and he screamed, al hayom, on the sea. V'aymer, Lamayim, he said to the waters, the waters shall be Yaminam, the waters to the right. His hero be Israel. Guard yourself from the Jewish people. Shall I see them? They're going to in the future be Makabal the Torah. Shall Nitna be Yaminam Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. That's going to be given, so to say, with the right hand of Hashem. You see what's happening over here is the sea was very angry. The sea was saying, why should I split my elo of avodah zarah afhalolo of avodah zarah? Just like the Egyptians bow down to idols, the Jewish people also bow down to idols. How do you think they got to Memtesh Shari Tumah, the 49th level of Tumah? There was no accident. They were very affected by the culture of Egypt. They were very much affected by the immorality and the idolatry of Egypt. So the sea said, why should I split for them? Do you want me to change my course of nature? Anybody who got stuck in the water drowned. Why should I change my nature? So Gavriel said, I want you to know the Jewish people are going to be Makabal the Torah. That is going to be given by Hashem's right hand, so to say, whatever that means in another higher level. Then he said, Shenema Yamina Eishdas Lamai. That's a pasuk that Hashem, we say it in Vezais HaBracha. I hope I'm either Hazino or Zeis HaBracha. I just don't remember at the moment. This pasuk, Shenema Yamina Eishdas Lamai. Hashem, with his right hand, will give the fiery law. Chazav Amal Yamin Lamayim Shibim Mismolam. Then Gavriel screamed out and he said to the water to the left, his here be Israel. Guard yourselves from the Jewish people. In the future, they're going to put on tefillin in their left hand. Then he said to the waters behind them, Hizhiru be Israel. Be careful, don't drown the Jewish people. They're going to be wearing tzitzis that's going to be hanging from behind. And the water listened to Gavriel, and it stood like walls.
So let's see.
They did more than that. From the Chalakulahem Ayam, Lishnayim Asa Kroim, it divided itself to 12 parts. Yehelechol Shevet Veshevet Shvil Levado. Each Shevet had a path of his own. Hadohu Dixiv. That's what it says. Ramayim Lahem Chayma. This is what it means that the sea became was set up walls. But it was with chema. It was with anger. The question is, why is the first time without chema? It was chema. Was it with the wall? Because then it says in the pasuk that the Jewish people first jumped into the sea, and then it became dry because there were Jewish people who were mosa nefesh. There were people who jumped into the water until their nostrils, like Nachshon ben Aminadav, and then that his shevet Yehuda jumped in after it, and that's what it means to say that the Jewish people jumped first into the sea. And then it turned into dryness. So there the walls were really a chayma. There the walls were a wall, a proper wall, without Gavriel making it strong. Because there the sea saw that the Jewish people had emunah, had faith in Hashem. So you're seeing something very abnormal, very unusual, but very powerful.
So at what point it became wrath?
The wrath was immediate. It was so for the people who jumped in first into the water, there was no wrath at them. Then the wall became chayma, and for those people who are not so prepared to jump in, they weren't able to come forth. Their emunah was weak, right? They also got the wall, but it was with a chema. It was with an anger.
It had 12 of them.
Right.
12 channels.
And Gabriel was
an angel.
He's the one that was sent to Sodom.
Now let's put it together. So now my Rebbe says that even though
coming back, they're the only ones. Everybody only has one.
Even though, which is important, what the Rebbe said over here, a very important nekuda. So you look at them; these are people who are the memtesh shari tuma. These are people who were really, by and large, most of them really produced chema, anger. They were really unworthy, but intrinsically, the Jew who is going to fulfill mitzvahs is regarded as a holy entity even now. Even now, their lowly state, Hashem considered their being a holy people, and Gavriel was capable of making the sea obey and make the walls stand and allow the Jewish people to cross unharmed. But this is a very powerful thing, and we see something very important. I'm going to glean a little bit from this, what we see from the parasha, on top of what my Rebbe said, that we see that the Jewish people, even though that now they may be in a state of avera, but the truth of the matter is, they have a future, and if the Jewish people have a future, and they're going to rise to the challenge eventually, so they are considered a holy people now, even though they're in the state of memtesh shari tumah. You understand? Even though if they are going to fulfill mitzvahs, they're going to be mekabel the Torah, they're going to put on tefillin, they're going to wear tzitzis, they're going to fulfill their role as Bnei Yisrael, even now in the lowly, right now. It's a very, very important thing. Now, to support this concept, I don't know if you were aware that in last week's parsha, this concept was very, very clearly mentioned in the pasuk. So I'm going to ask you to go back in Parshas Bo. In Parshas Bo, we're going to go to Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Gimel. Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Gimel.
I'm not sure.
It's right after the first mitzvah of Acholich Hazelachem Rosh Chodesh. 350. The pasuk says, what did Hashem then tell them after he told them to do the mitzvah of Kiddush Chodesh? Incidentally, I did not yet fulfill making Kiddush Chodesh. I mean, Birchas the bracha on the new moon. It's already the ninth. So I'm going to see if I can do it tonight. It would be important that if you forgot or you didn't have a chance to do it yet this week. But okay, that's a sideline. I just wanted to say the pasuk over here, that's a very interesting pasuk. Dabru el kol adas Yisrael, speak to the whole congregation of Yisrael, Lamar saying, Be'esor ha-chodesh hazeh, on the 10th of this chodesh, they v'ichlehem ish sel beis ovei sel abayis. I tell them on the 10th of the month that they should each take a seh, a lamb, to each household, sel abayis, one seh to each house. And then I'll just outside, I just want to tell you what's going on with the Pesukim. Then you're going to fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, you'll put it on the doorpost, and you'll eat it inside, and you'll roast it accordingly, and so forth. Remember, this is the first of the month, which is Nisan. Hashem is telling the Jewish people, telling Moshe to tell the Jewish people on the 10th of the month, 10 days from now, tell them to take a lamb.
So let's say I say, I would like.
That means 10 days later. Let's now turn to the Pasuk in Pasuk Kaf Hei. Listen to what the Pasuk is going to say. A very interesting Pasuk. Pasuk Kaf Hei. In Pasuk Kaf Hei, it's in Perek Yud Beis, yes. I believe it's in Pasuk Kaf Hei. One second. No, I believe it's Kaf Ches. Please, I apologize. 356, same page. It says, Vayelchu, after Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the instructions of how to bring the Korban Pesach. Listen to this, look at the pasuk. Vayelchu vayasu b'nei Yisrael, and the Jewish people went and they did kashitziva Hashem es Moshe v'aharon, just as Hashem commanded Moshe and Aharon, came also. So they did. Question. How do they do it? They're standing on the first day of Nisan. They're being told that in 10 days you are to take a lamb and then examine it for 4 days and then shecht it on Yud Dalet Nisan. Take the blood and do it on the doorpost and the lintel. Eat it inside. First you have to roast it. And the Torah is telling us that on the when they were being told this on the first day, the Torah says,
it was your car that got
the they went and they did it. Kashitiva Shemes Moshe, Aaron came out. So, how did that happen? There's 15 days in between.
What I'm explaining to you right now from this is why
it couldn't have happened.
Okay. So the whole thing is,
Mefarshim are explaining that when you want to do a mitzvah,
one of the requirements
with all your heart, it's as if you did it already.
One of the requirements for that is that you actually have
to repeat that.
Okay.
Time-wise, it was impossible for this to happen. How could they say they did it already if they were being told on Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the month, to take the lamb on the 10th of the month and wait 3-4 days and shecht on the 14th, and then you're saying at the end of the discussion of the Korban Pesach, and so they went and did it.
Right. Yeah, they were told the first.
How could he do it on the first if you couldn't do it on the first?
We don't know the time frame.
But the 14th didn't take place yet.
What didn't take place?
The 14th day didn't take place. They're understanding
you're saying
on the
in 10th. The verb is in the past tense. You're saying.
They did it already in the future. They're standing in the past and they said they did it already. How could you be doing it already if they didn't do it yet?
Act of acquisition called chalipin.
You're saying they went and they did it.
On the first, you're saying, on the
they're
first.
They're standing on the first.
I see. Okay, so
they're standing on the first of the month.
They're saying this, that they did it.
Moshe Rabbeinu was being told Hashem right after the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Tell the Jewish people to go ahead and take the Korban Pesach.
Yeah.
And then when should you tell them to take the Korban Pesach? Not today.
But let's say we're sitting here.
Tell them to take the Korban Pesach on the 10th.
And kill her on the 14th.
And then shecht on the 14th. And be inside when the Korban Pesach has to be eaten. And the Torah says, and the Jewish people went and did it. But how could they do it? It's only on the first day of the month.
Now,
maybe they did it in the future.
And if we go there,
they did it in the future, Hashem is saying.
Okay, so what the Torah is telling us, if they did it, even though they're standing on the first month, is to give us a very deep insight to doing mitzvahs. The insight is that when you want to do a mitzvah and you mean it,
But you
have fulfilled the mitzvah.
If you read the next sentence,
yes,
I'm talking about the chronology of it. The next sentence follows, it was at midnight. So the point is that it's like he told them, and then immediately after they did the korban and
right.
The blood, then it's midnight, and then he comes and kills him. So chronological point, they have fast that they move forward. They fast forward it because of the importance of the 10th plague.
Of course. But the question over here, right now, right at this point over here, you have to understand when this parsha was told to them. When was this parsha told? Moshe Rabbeinu is told this parsha on the first of the month.
It says that.
No, I mean, Perek Yud Beis, start, you want to turn back? Turn back to the first pasuk. Go back a few pages on Perek Yud Beis. It says over there was Achodesh Lachem Roish Chadoshim Rishon Lachem Achodesh Yeshon, and then he says Dabu El Kol Adasi Yisrael Leimor, take the animal in the 10th month. And then if you finish the parsha, and as soon as he finished telling them.
It's just a fast forward, it's happening. There's nothing relevant in between other than them preparing, getting the animal and preparing and getting ready for the event.
Yeah,
and that's all. That nothing happened in the 10 days.
Okay,
so that's my interpretation.
The bottom line. If you say
the future,
look at Rashi.
Okay.
Look at Rashi Chavches. This is a very, very important Jewish concept, and this will play into what I just said before about the Jewish people having experienced the splitting of the sea. I'm doing this all to combine everything together. Look at Rashi, please. Vayelchu vayasu. B'nai Yisrael, says Rashi, v'chi kevar asu? They didn't do it yet. Isn't this told to them on Rosh Chodesh? Right? Ela mikivan shekiblu aleihem, mal aleihem, akosu ki ilu asu. since they accepted upon them to do it, as if they did it already. A very important concept of Yiddishkeit, that when you want to do a mitzvah, you can get the credit. Now let's fast forward back to our parsha, Parshat B'Shalom. The whole story over here, as my Rebbe wanted to explain, yes, there were Mem Tashari Tumah. And yes, Gavriel had a shout at the sea. And yes, the Choma was without a vav, and it was Chema. It was anger. There was a wrath over there. However, it's still Klal Yisrael as intrinsically holy. They are Klal Yisrael. And since Klal Yisrael was holy, they were worthy of it all happening then, and therefore the splitting of the city took place. What we walk away with over here is, when you want to do a mitzvah, and you really mean it, it's as if you did it, and Hashem gives you credit. Have a wonderful week.
So I have one question, and it has to do with...